There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Chris the Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, so on a Tuesday. We can't say the rest of that. There's, I think, some expletives in there. We get fined. We get dumped. Can't do that on a Tuesday. I'm Chris the Crick. 670 The Score is the station. I got my man Robbie Triano on the ones and twos. What could be better, honestly? Just a beautiful Tuesday night live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You know what time it is. I will be here for, what do we call it, Robbie? Nighttime quickie, baby. Here for the next 2 hours.
Yo,
here to make Robbie, to make Robbie uncomfortable. By the way, like, 2 hours isn't really a quickie, so like, let's be real, it's like a nice, that's like a nice night, you know, that's like an intermediate level of night, depending on, anyway, I'll be here for the next 2 hours, 312-644-6767, we're gonna be talking mostly Bears, such great vibes coming off that win against the Rams, a win that I personally did not expect, and literally on the air, told you that was gonna be an L, hold that. Didn't know why they were favored. Turns out I was wrong. I mean, that happens. We'll talk about the Bulls as well. Media day has happened, giving us plenty of quotes, like lots to do. Zach LaVine's found himself. He's centered. He's mature. He's here to help the young kids. Just, you know, had some time to get healthy and now is saying all the right things. Okay, so we'll talk about that as well. But let's take the temp, huh, on our Bears. Coming off of a Bears victory, that always makes for great prep, great radio, great vibes, great calls. That's what we want to see. So I, for one, like I said, didn't think that the Rams were going to lose that game. Even though the Bears have one of the longest win streaks in the NFL at home. Even though the Rams were missing components of their offensive line, two of them, even though they were missing Puka and Cooper Kupp, it just didn't feel like the coaching disadvantage would be enough to overcome, right? Like, we got Sean McVay, the whiz kid, and then we've got Flus. No shade to Flus, but like, did anybody ever say, like, we think Flus is going to out-coach, which he didn't. The defense was just really, really good. But, like, nobody thought, like, okay, Flus is going to be able to pull a rabbit out of his hat and out-coach Sean McVay. So let's recap it. 24-18, the line was 3, right? So Vegas thought the Bears would beat the Rams by 3 at the crib, basically on a neutral field to pick them. Another as many times as I say to myself, there's no way that the defense can continue to win games for the Bears, they do. Just every time. Like, there was a possibility the Rams could go up. No. We got a Jaquan Brisker interception, night-night sleep mask. It's time for you to take your ass home. Like, that's what it is. 3 sacks, 7 tackles for a loss, huge interception, like I said, by Jaquan Brisker to end the game. Brisker, by the way, 12 tackles, 2 for losses, and a sack that forced the Rams' field goal to go with this game-sealing interception. So haters might say it's Photoshopped, right? Like, they might say this is all Fugazi. All pro receivers, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, weren't in the game. 60% of their offensive line, not there. But ultimately, like, if you're a fan of this team, you got to play who's in front of you, right? Like, if you lost this game, would any of those things would have mattered? No, it would have been not a moral defeat at all. The offense, which was pretty bad in the first half, let's be honest, like, a lot better in the second half. On the ground, in the air. We've talked about DeAndre Swift for weeks now. The one thing that we've known that he's really good at is those one-off breakaway touchdowns for tons of yards. You know, leak, 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 and then the water burns. Pause. Come on, I didn't even mean to do that. And then the pipes burst, which we got from him. 93 yards on 16 carries, best game of the year by far. I didn't even mean to do that, Robbie. It just happened.
And then the pipes burst, yeah.
And then the pipes burst, which you definitely don't want. More importantly, DeAndre Swift caught 7 balls for 72 yards as the number one release valve for Caleb Williams, which is exactly what you want in your back for a rookie quarterback. Like, you need him to be there to take the pressure off of what we are seeing is maybe paint by numbers offense by Shane Waldron. Like, maybe even worse than that, which we'll get into later. But I am extremely suspicious of how creative he's going to get. Caleb Williams himself had a day as well. 17 for 23. I know the numbers in terms of yards aren't great, but pretty efficient. 157 yards, 1 TD, 0 interceptions, no self-inflicted wounds, which is huge. You know, we've talked about how important it is for a rookie quarterback not to do too much, not to turn the ball over. And not turning the ball over is why the Bears won this game. Because if you turn the ball over against this Rams team, you give them life. It's night-night. So Caleb went back to not making that rookie mistake that we see from many rookies. And look at that. We are now 2-2. It's 500 football. And by the way, as much as we let the praise be as loud as the disrespect, they say, the kids say, props to the O-line. That O-line kept Caleb as upright as he's been all year. First decent performance of the season. Sacked only 3 times. And he avoided multiple sacks as well. And then you look at the pocket time, still very low, under 3 seconds. It still allowed him to complete, you know, 75% of his passes. So that's huge. The PFF grade, the nerd stuff, PFF, was a huge improvement over week 3. Braxton Jones led the way with an 83 in run blocking, which is why probably DeAndre Swift did stuff, right? Like, you do stuff, then maybe Swift does stuff. I was pretty worried, considering that Tevin Jenkins missed the game and Matt Pryor started in place of him while Nate Davis took over right guard. But we talked about that last week, and there were a lot of curiosities about whether they would make changes on the line, and Eberflus said that they wouldn't. And guess what? Maybe he's reading the blogs. Maybe he's listening to 670 The Score on a weeknight, you know? They end up rushing. Bears end up getting a good game on the ground. 131 yards on 28 carries. Almost 5 yards per carry. 2 touchdowns. That's what we want to see, baby. Give your rookie quarterback a run game. Protect him. Surround him with weapons. And let the defense clean up the rest. And now you got a team that can compete with almost anybody. And we got to give some props to the Flus is loose. We got to give some props to him. He had the best coaching game of his year. And although, again, I'm going to continue to bang on Shane Waldron, pause, because his offense needs work. Like, he really does, which is why multiple players went to him directly before the game asking him to, hey, can you open up the offense for us? This is trash. This is simple. We don't know what's going on. But the Bears did do enough to win the game, and they didn't do anything really to lose it. And for now, with the defense, I think it's enough. I really do. 2-2 in the best division in football. Let's just say it right now. This is the best division in football. We thought maybe the AFC North would be, but, like, let's be honest, the Browns exist. They're rough. And I think the Steelers are probably the most fugazi 3-1 football team in the NFL. Just getting by their elite defense, number one in almost every category on the nerd sites. So
no love for Justin Fields?
Justin Fields looks much better. He does. And he went on a podcast the other day saying that the coaching was night and day difference between Pittsburgh and Chicago. And I would say that's absolutely fair. You know, like I would
say.
When
you have Mike Tomlin, I think you are allowed to say that and not be like, oh, why? No, all right, that's kind of true.
Yeah. And so they're not making Justin Fields do too much. But anyway, back to the NFC North, which I think is just hands down an elite, the elite division in football. You're two back of the Vikings, which no one thought would ever happen. I don't, like, we've got, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but you're talking about two teams that are undefeated in the NFL right now. One is the defending champs, and the other one was the team that was supposedly going to be fourth in this division. They're nasty. They are absolutely for real, for real. You're one back of the Packers. You're tied with the Lions. If we would have said, hey, after four games, the Bears are going to be tied with the Lions, do you think anybody would have been mad about that? I don't think so. And now you play the Panthers, which is just woof. Woof. Ugh. You know, like, it's just not great. It's a situation over there. They lost Shaq Thompson and Josie Jewell last week. The Jags, they play them the week after. They might be the worst team in the NFL. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm seeing a lot of reporting that the Jags have essentially tuned out Doug Peterson, which, you know, you hate to see it. So my question really is, a quarter through the season, are the Bears where you thought that they would be? Are they better than you thought that they would be? Or are they worse? How would you grade the team so far? And you break it down piece by piece, the O-line, running backs, wide receivers, QB. Like, the O-line we know is a work in progress, right? We'll start with the offense. They're showing improvement. And that Rams game probably being the high water mark of the year. The center of the line is still the weak point, which for a young quarterback, you just really can't have that. That's going to be something to clean up right away. Coleman Shelton was the lowest graded offensive lineman again last week. Disgusting. Opponents are pressuring up the middle pretty easily. It's just like a hot knife through butter right towards your franchise quarterback. Just come beelining, and he's having to roll out like ludicrous so damn fast, get rid of the ball, or he's going to get his head knocked off, right? So middle of the line has to kind of get reinforced. Like, we got to get the wall up and running. Running backs, we know it's been a disappointment, right? Last game notwithstanding. If you take away, here's something I thought was super interesting, because we talked about the pipes bursting with DeAndre Swift. If you take away DeAndre Swift's 36-yard touchdown run, he still averaged 3.5 yards per carry on his other 15 rushes. He was averaging 2 yards per carry the first three games. And the problem, Roshan might have a higher PFF rating, but Roshan is even worse at pass blocking than Swift is. He has a 25 out of 100, a 25 grade. So the Bears are going to need a lot of more from Swift. They're going to have to do some sort of platooning. And I don't know where Khalil Herbert was, because I had placed some bets on him, and he was just really not involved. In terms of the wide receivers, the wide receivers have been, you know, really kind of getting an incomplete grade based on injuries. Keenan Allen missed games 2 and 3. Rome has been banged up. But let's be real, like, so much of that has to do with the O-line as well. They're not allowing much time for longer plays to develop. And we don't know if Shane Waldron is even going to run those type of plays. I know that there are people who are frustrated with Shane Waldron right now. One of those guys just signed a massive contract and is sitting at the end of the bench and is the last one to leave the field before halftime. His name is DJ Moore. And I don't think you want to keep him waiting too long. And then the quarterback, the one area that I think everyone is wanting to weigh in on is the quarterback, but so much of this is a machine and they all sort of play on one another. And I'll have more thoughts about the QB position after our interview, next segment. But despite that Caleb is 2-2 to start the career, he's still a rookie who doesn't have any time to throw the ball. Like, we cannot evaluate you if you are under duress the entire time. As much as everybody wants to compare Caleb Williams to Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels' offensive line is holding up, boy. It looks good. And that running game with Brian Robinson, and when Austin Ekeler was healthy, Austin Ekeler too, was a two-headed monster. They're one of the best running teams in the NFL right now. Again, the formula. Good offensive line, protect the quarterback, run the damn ball. And the Commanders don't have the defense part figured out, but they're able to outscore a lot of teams just because that man, Jaden Daniels, has the time to throw straight dots. All right, now defensively. So I thought Caleb was kind of where he would be right now, but again, the offensive line can't really give us any indication at this point. So let's evaluate the defense, D-line, linebackers, secondary. D-line's been ranked in the top 10 so far this year. That is incredible. An incredible sign for this team. The Montez Sweat move was a game changer. Even though they got cut up by the Colts, the other three games, they shut down the run, they pressured the quarterback, and that's really all you can ask for, right? Then you got the linebackers, nothing spectacular, but they're getting the job done. TJ Edwards came off of a bad showing against the Colts with 9 tackles, but then Tremaine Edwards took a step back with just 2 tackles against the Rams. So there's some room for improvement in the linebacker core. The secondary is nasty. That's where everything goes down. It goes down in the DM. That's where it happens, folks. Warren Sharp has this secondary 4th in the NFL with a 91 grade. And that I actually think that might be a little low. It is a game-changing secondary. You're going to win a lot of games, Bears, with just the secondary. And they ball hawk. They blitz like they were being coached by Buddy Ryan. They blanket opposing receivers all game long. They are just like white on rice, folks. And that's super fun to watch, too. I don't know why that deserves a laugh, Robbie. That wasn't even designed to be anything where there was any double entendre.
I don't even know what white on rice means, so I was just laughing at it. I've never heard that before.
What? You don't know white on rice? Rice, largely, unless it's brown rice, is white.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I was like, white on rice. Well, I thought, isn't that just rice?
All right, we got to move on. We can't forget the special teams. You're thinking too hard here. We can't forget the special teams either. Special teams in this team is just like ridiculous. They are 7th in the NFL through 4 games, which is a huge win for a franchise that has nightmares. I remember exactly, I don't know if you remember, Robbie, I remember exactly where I was with the double doink. God, I was in a ballroom covering a college football playoff game for like media availability. And I remember being like, I cannot believe that just happened. Punt returns for touchdowns. The special teams was something that you could have real fears about. And our own Chris Emma wrote an article on the website, 670 The Score, about rookie Torrey Taylor, how important he is to the Bears' win against the Rams. 3 punts inside the 20? 3 punts inside the 20. The Rams started these drives at 5, at their own 5, their own 8, and their own 8-yard respectively. Wow. Like, you're not getting anything done if that's where you're starting. And then they had a 35-yarder that pinned the Rams deep as well. 4th-round pick, how good has he been? Jalen Johnson said, hell yeah, I haven't been pumped for a punt in a long time. He's definitely special, man. So definitely giving us some punt and pins, giving them bad field position, giving us some good field position for us to be able to pin our ears back and go hunt. And that's what they're doing. They are hunting. When is the last time a hard hat gave a punter his props? Like never? Like who's like, yeah, you know the thing I want to talk about? The punter. Come on. Cairo Santos, also stellar. 7 for 8, including 4 for 5 from beyond the 50. Come on. Perfect on extra points. Defensively, the special teams is doing well as well. So this is all a huge plus, especially as we're still trying to work the kinks out of the offense. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think? I'd love to hear from you guys. 312-644-6767. What is your grade for the Bears this season? A quarter of the way in. Are you encouraged by Caleb? Are you still wanting more from him? Who are you comparing him to? Are you watching Jaden Daniels and wondering if you chose the wrong guy? Because I know this, when you see Jaden Daniels have the highest accuracy rate for any rookie in history at 91% and a beatdown of the Bengals that ripped through an entire Survivor League, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, he's special. But again, I caution you to not compare when his offensive line has been much better. And then, are the playoffs still a reasonable goal for this team? Where do you think this team's going to finish? The line, in terms of wins, was 9.5 and 8.5, depending on where you saw it in the offseason. Is this a 10-win team? Is this a 9-win team? Or are you thinking maybe once, now that the NFC North has revealed itself to be so dangerous, so potent, so from top to bottom spectacular, that there's going to be some losses against divisional rivals that you did not expect? I'd love to hear. 312-644-6767. But first, before you give me a call, CBS Sports' Mike Renner is going to come on to break down the Bears from his perspective. And we'll be back right after this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Third and six. Rams bring an extra body. Williams protected. Williams to the back in the end zone for DJ Moore and a touchdown. Their first connection together.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Need more Caleb to DJ Moore connections. I'm not going to lie to you. Trista Crick here, listening to 670 The Score. Call 312-644-6767. But before you do, unless you're wanting to stay on hold, joining us is Mike Renner, NFL and draft analyst for CBS Sports, also co-host of Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. Guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tris, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's fantastic. We're vibing. I don't know if you can tell. It's a hip hop Tuesday. Talking a little Bears win.
I love it.
So for you, I wanted to get your thoughts on a quarter of the season and what we've seen from the Bears. If you were to give this team a grade, what would you put them at, and like break it down in terms of what they're doing well and what you think they need to do to improve?
I mean, compared to expectations, I think it's about a C. I saw this team as, you know, a 9-8, 8-9, ended up in that sort of range. It's just difficult to be better than that with a rookie quarterback. And so I think the biggest thing is, you've seen improvement from him from week one to week four. If that upward trajectory continues by end of season, by start of next year, you're looking at a guy who's probably living up to those expectations as number one overall pick. So that's really like where your season relies on. I can praise this defense all I want, and the defense is fantastic. I love so much the second level of this defense and watching those guys play, whether it's the linebacker duo or guys like Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker who come into the box. I think that is an elite, you know, second level and how they're able to cover ground, how they're able to play the run. I think that kind of sets the tone for this defense. And it is one of the best defenses in the NFL. But like, we knew that at the end of last year, we knew that already. And so from that perspective, like, they've lived up to expectations. It's just the one place that's dragging that grade down, unfortunately, is this offensive line, where everyone had such higher hopes than what we're seeing on the football field. The one guy I keep going back to that's just like, it doesn't make sense. He's playing the worst ball of his career, and he's in your contract year. Tevin Jenkins, like, I know that he's banged up now, and he was out, I think it's past week, but even before he was, like, he was not, he just looked like a fish out of water at left guard. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's more comfortable on the right side than the left or whatnot, but it's not just him along this offensive line. I don't think Braxton Jones is playing his best ball either, and Nate Davis obviously has had his issues. So it's just kind of a group effort to be disappointing, but that's where it's really like, man, everyone thought they were going to be so much better. I think Ryan Poles even thought they were going to be so much better. That's why he addressed other positions this offseason.
I saw a breakdown today on just some of the big boy NFL throws that Caleb made, especially the one to the end zone when the defender had his back to him. For you, outside of the offensive line struggles, because we know that those are there, how do you evaluate Caleb and his progression and what he's specifically gotten better at?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to know kind of who he was at USC, right, and where his weaknesses lay. And I think the biggest things were, you know, the biggest questions I had with him coming out were ball security in the pocket, fumbling. He had a ton of fumbles last year. He averaged like over one a game, and that's obviously like concerning. I think he's been better at that this year than he was last year. So that's obviously like, that's a good starting point. And then the other thing was taking sacks as well. He had a really high, you know, pressure sack conversion rate. I think he took more sacks last year, I think the stat was, that Michael Penix did his entire college career. So, like, that was – he had a propensity to do that, and I think that's continued. Like, it's something where I think it's still an area where he needs to improve. And I think you've seen him from week one to week four, something in that Lincoln Riley offense. It was kind of simplistic in that it didn't give him a lot of second and third reads. A lot of times in passing plays, it was kind of one read, Caleb, it's you, go make a play. There wasn't a number two. I think you've seen that. I mean, you saw that with the DJ Moore touchdown. That was a second read throw that he stood tall in a pocket that was collapsing on both sides and still made the play. So more of that going forward, like, that's obviously encouraging, but it is one throw out of an entire game. You see those show up more consistently, though. That's how you see the trajectory to elite quarterback play.
What's your thoughts on Shane Waldron and how he's doing? There was that interview with JSN a few months ago where they asked Jackson Smith and Jigba to evaluate Shane Waldron and what Bears fans could expect from him. And he was, I don't know if it was a resounding form of praise. We're seeing just the differences where JSN's lined up on the field now and how he's being used, how DJ Moore was used last year and how different it is now. I guess, how do you feel about that specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's anything special as an OC. I don't think they hired, you know, the next Kyle Shanahan. I think I'm breaking any ground saying that. But I also don't think he's necessarily – I think what he's done is he's adjusted from early on in the season. I think week one, week two, he himself had a much higher opinion of how well their offensive line was going to be able to get the job done. I think they trusted and thought this was a plus unit that they could rely on and didn't need to put help towards. That's changed. I saw that change this past week against the Rams. They did a lot more to mitigate kind of those weaknesses up front and – put guys in more favorable situations when you knew they had to pass. So I've already seen adjustment. That's good. But again, I don't think you're seeing a ton of layups in this offense. It's definitely not what I would call, you know, one of the more QB-friendly around the NFL. But I do think they're doing some things, and they have guys have had some plays, especially down the football field, that I've been surprised that Caleb's turned down, truthfully. Like, I think he's still kind of a little hesitant to really let it rip consistently. And once that is gone, I think this offense is going to really, really flourish, because the talent they have, like DJ Moore and Roma Dunze specifically, those guys are getting open. Like, especially on downfield routes with the Dunze. Like, if Caleb just gives Rome a few more chances a game, I think you'll see some big plays start to come into the offense.
I saw last game DeAndre Swift had 7 catches as well, which is kind of what we saw from him in Detroit, not so much in Philly. Do you think we see more of that? Because that seemed to kind of get him a little bit more loose as we saw him have his best game of the year so far.
Well, that's, I think, you know, a development in Caleb's growth. The guys, the quarterbacks around the NFL that, you know, more often than not, there's some that really use the running back as a crutch. You know, like Derek Carr comes to mind in that regard. But the guys that can get to the check down consistently and generate positive plays, and DeAndre Swift, like, that's where he's at his best. He's not a between the tackles runner. He's a guy where if you throw him a swing, he can make a linebacker miss one-on-one. So when you can get to those check downs within the rhythm of the offense more consistently, that's only going to make your job easier as a quarterback. You know, if you're getting the check down instead of taking sacks, those turn negative plays into positive plays. So it's something that I think is not only a positive sign for Swift and his, you know, ability to function as offense, it's a positive sign for Caleb Williams and basically his ability to protect himself and keep the offense on schedule.
You talked about how much Rome was getting separation. Rookie receivers as a whole have been cooking. You got obviously Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, Marvin Harrison among the top wide receivers right now in terms of production. With that in mind, where do you see Rome in that mix?
So I think Malik Nabers is of the bunch. Like, he just looks different right now. I mean, that guy's truly special, and the Giants know it. They're just feeding him. He is their offense at the moment. So, like, I'd put a Rome behind him. After him, honestly, probably the second most impressive, just from, like, flipping on the tape week to week, has probably been Brian Thomas Jr., just because that guy is a true freaky athlete. I mean, LSU, what they had offensively last year was stupid, and you're seeing that with quarterback and those two wideouts. Like, those guys are unique athletes that, if you don't run, what was it, Brian Thomas Jr., like a 4.33 or 4.34, you just can't do some of the stuff he does. So Those guys are really impressive. But after that, honestly, he's been as impressive as Marvin Harrison Jr. to me. Both guys just really polished. They don't have the pure athletic tools that Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. have, but they're just like efficient, effective route runners. And like I said, I'm very surprised at how many times Caleb's turned him down when I'm looking on the tape. Like he had this past week twice, one on a deep, one on vertical from the seam, one on a deep dig that it's like, that could have been big plays. And so he's definitely living up to the hype. Like as a number 9 overall pick, I've seen people say, you know, should have drafted an offensive lineman. There is no offensive lineman in this rookie class playing well enough that would have shored up what the Bears needed. He, for the long term, was the correct pick there at number 9.
Yeah, as an Oregon Duck alum, I can tell you he's a burner. So I watched that up close when he was at Washington where they beat my team twice. Another wide receiver, obviously, that's extremely elite, Davante Adams requests a trade from the Raiders. What do you make of that, and what do you think the potential landing spots for him might be?
Yeah, this was, I think, long overdue. You know, he was unhappy. If you just watch, what was it, the Receiver documentary on Netflix, he was, you know, did not come across as a guy who loved his decision to get out of Green Bay and go to Las Vegas in the first place. So, to me, the Raiders should have done this offseason. Like, this was always going to be the case, but I guess better late than never. Obviously, Kansas City is the team that everyone's saying needs him at the moment, but no one's going to do that trade within the division. So where he ends up, honestly, I hadn't really thought about that too hard, about who really needs him. I feel like Dallas is kind of the one spot that everyone kind of expects to make a splash kind of move like that, to pair him with CeeDee Lamb, just kind of with how that offense has looked. But I'm sure with the state of offense around the NFL, a lot of people are going to be knocking down on the Raiders' door here.
Well, and as someone who watched the Cowboys sign Ezekiel Elliott instead of going after Derek Carr, it doesn't seem like Derrick Henry didn't want to pay him as much as he's going to get paid, right? So in terms of the NFC North as a whole, how do you think the Bears stack up against the Lions, Vikings, and Packers?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, like right now, I think they're clearly the fourth best team in that division. You just, when you're struggling the way they are, to be consistent offensively, especially considering like who else, the other offenses in that division, you have like the best or second best rushing offense in the NFL in the Packers. You have the Vikings just blowing the doors off everyone. And then you have the Lions who just, against one of the best defenses in the NFL, only got stopped once. Like, you're just in a powerhouse of a division. So it's no shame to be the fourth in that. But I could see by year's end, right, they had this kind of mismatched schedule where I think it's, what, until like week 10, they really kind of had – they don't have like any of their divisional games. They kind of just play all their sort of easier games on their schedule. They had a real easy go over in the first half. If Caleb Williams get up to speed and they are humming by the second half of the season, I think they could go, you know, 3-3 in this division or just like at least split – and be on par with some of these teams by that time, because the defense really, really does belong in that category of top teams in the NFL.
Yeah, you mentioned the Vikings. If I would have told you that there were only two, after 4 weeks, two undefeated teams, one was the defending champs and the other was the Vikings, would you have told me I was absolutely insane?
I may have, just especially given their schedule. I was like, you know, I could see them surpassing expectations, but I could not have seen them beating the Texans, the 49ers, and the Packers in three straight weeks. That did not compute preseason. But, well, Sam Darnold, that defense, they look like they belong.
I saw a Kevin O'Connell quote, and he said, you know, so many times the quarterbacks don't fail teams. Teams fail quarterbacks. You agree with that opinion, or is he just kind of a quarterback whisperer?
I do. I do think that's the case, and I think – a lot of times expectations are set or, you know, playbooks are given to these guys or a lot's asked of them that, well, you're not ready, especially rookie quarterbacks when, you know, they're going through the shortest off season they'll ever have in their entire lives to like the biggest leap in competition to a brand new team, a brand new playbook. And it's like heads are spinning for a lot of these guys. And then if it doesn't work out, a lot of times coaches are saying, you know, it's their fault and not the situation they put them in. So it's like, I do agree that a lot of teams go into year one and think of their quarterback as their savior instead of going into year one with these guys and thinking, how do I get, you know, how do I have a plan for an organization to advance over the next 2 to 3 years? Because if you're draft number one overall, and obviously the Bears are in a unique situation to do so this year, if you're draft number one overall, it's because you had organizational failure at some point in time, right? You need to change things that aren't just the one quarterback. It's why, like, the stat about all these number one overall picks is the way it is, that it doesn't turn these teams around more often than not. So I do agree with O'Connell there in that a lot of organizations think it's on this guy to change the culture and not the organization itself to change its failings.
Yeah, that's a great point. Lastly, before I let you run, are the Bears a playoff team to you, if you had to guess?
Gosh, I hate playoff teams now because I always forget about the seventh. And, like, if there are six, you know, the two wild cards, I'd have been like, no. But I could see it with seven now just because I think you'll have slim pickings in the NFC East at this point. I don't think I like what I see from the Eagles and Cowboys. I think it wouldn't surprise me at all to see both of those teams miss the playoffs given how they're playing. Obviously, the South, I think, will kind of cannibalize itself, and you won't see too many teams above 500 in that division by season's end. The West, though, and the North is where I think you'll see multiple teams. I think Seahawks and 49ers end up getting in, and I think, obviously, in the North, you're going to see Vikings and maybe Packers and Lions both ahead of the Bears. So I think it's going to be tough for them to do so, but they do have a much easier schedule and easier go of it than a team like the Packers, so it wouldn't surprise me, but if I had to bet right now, gun to my head, I'd say they probably don't make it.
Mike, thank you so much for joining me. It was super insightful and really fun. We'll have to do it again sometime.
For sure, Tristan. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks so much for joining us. Mike Renner, NFL and draft analyst for CBS Sports and co-host of Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. What do you think? Are the Bears a playoff team? Doesn't sound like Mike. I think it's going to be tough for the Bears to make it in, just considering how deep and stacked this division is. Pause. Let's chat about it, though. 312-644-6767. We'll be back right after this with more Bears talk.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick, we are back. Yo, guys, we just had an amazing conversation with Mike Renner on the Bears, on the NFL at large. Davante Adams, we all knew he was saying free me in that receiver doc. We knew that. If you missed it, definitely go back on the Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, or later find it wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever the other ones are. Also call me. Hit me on my cell phone. Hit me on the call line, 312-644-6767. Really quickly about used to call me on the cell phone. Drake apparently unfollowed LeBron today. Who are these people who just randomly track celebrities following and unfollowing each other? That's weird behavior to me. Get a life. Like, if that's not your real job, don't make it your job. Anyway.
Especially when you have millions and millions and millions. How do you know?
Yeah, are you just searching, literally going to their profile, searching their name and being like, nope, they unfollow. There's like apps that show you, which again, you have to pay for. How much of a lame are you if you're paying $14.99 to see what celebrities follow and unfollow other celebrities? Like, that is the epitome of touch grass. Like, it does not get more touch grass than that, honestly.
I could see Drake doing that, though. But also, if, like, I think LeBron went to Team Kendrick this summer, so he's probably like checking every day.
Yeah, he went to the...
Who are my friends? Who are my allies?
What was it? The Pop Out, I think it was called. Like something like, he went to that concert. He was trying to get his little dance on. Savannah James told him, do not get on stage. You are not a blood. You are not part of Inglewood. Stay out of that. And then Drake unfollowed him. Back to the topic at hand, which is our Bears. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you saw it, Robbie, but I wrote a blog on the Score's website.
Oh, my God.
If you didn't see it, I put in some work on it, so check it out. I was fascinated to know why so many quarterbacks, including a lot of first-year quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks, are struggling this year. Like, really a huge drop-off. Because the quarterback rating that's obviously our way that we compare how a quarterback plays, that quarterback ratings are down 27% over the past 4 years. And the question that I had was why, right? And the answer that I found out with some deep digging and some intellectual curiosity was fascinating. And I think a lot of people probably think it's because the defense is blitzing so much. And I think that would be like the very easy like way to describe it. But in fact, defenses are blitzing at the third lowest rate in the last 15 years. So if defenses are blitzing less and quarterbacks are playing worse, then what's up? Like, what's going on? So we're blaming it on two things, and neither of them are Henny or Patron. Like, it is one, the mobile quarterback. And I'm not talking about running quarterbacks. I'm talking mobile in the fact, like, Caleb Williams, he able to Houdini him his way out of a pocket, right? But the problem is many quarterbacks now can escape the pocket, but almost no one can effectively throw on the run. And that's what we're seeing with Caleb, right? Pocket collapses, he rolls out, throws across his body, pick, right? Or, you know, some other bad thing that you can insert there. Corners in the NFL are super fast. And then you have guys like TJ Watt, and you've got guys like Micah Parsons, who you thought maybe before you had an extra second in college to find the open man, and now they're coming at you like a freight train and you're on your back just like that. And then the second factor is simulated in disguise blitzes, which is super nerdy, but defensive coordinators are just becoming geniuses. I don't know how they became Doogie Howsers, but not just simulating blitzes, but disguising them when they do bring the heat. And simulated blitzes often cause young quarterbacks to panic, i.e. Bryce Young, which is why he's sitting his ass on the bench right now, and hurry up plays. And now you've got this vast array of shifting pressure formations, and it is rough out there for a young quarterback who has not seen a lot of pressures at game speed. And many quarterbacks just don't know where or if a blitz is coming, and then they get caught with their pants down. Pause. And then you add that to the fact that the offensive line play is down and teams are pressuring the quarterback without having to bring an extra man. And it's fire in the streets. It is hot on the streets for quarterbacks this year. And then finally, the question that everybody's probably going to ask is, so why is Jaden Daniels killing it and all these other quarterbacks aren't? Because Jaden Daniels is an accurate-ass guy, like surgical. 90% completion rating, 521 yards and a touchdown, no interceptions on passes up to 9 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That is disgusting stuff. That is Hall of Fame numbers. And he's an actual runner and not just mobile like Lamar, which makes, I mean, he's terrifying, guys. He's absolutely terrifying. And then you compare it to Caleb, it's just a different world. So improved line play is going to be critical so that Caleb gets that extra time, which is a reason he's only thrown 2 deep balls this year, but it's all very fascinating, and I think comparing him to Jaden Daniels is unfair, even if you can question why Daniels wasn't more seriously considered with the number one overall pick. I would love, though, your thoughts on Caleb, quarterback play right now in general. By the way, Robbie's quarterback, 18 for 18 last night. Give him a little golf clap. Just dink, dunk, dink,
a
dunk.
A golf clap? I like that.
The golf clap. 3 yards, 5 yards here, and then Jameson Williams, additional yak of 30 to a touchdown. Congratulations to the Lions fans. Anyway, give me a call, 312-644-6767. We are Bears fans. The same record right now as the Lions, so you got to feel good about that. And next up, we got Carmen Vitale in Fox Sports, baby, back in the flash.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.